stand-up historian. Those who tell stories rule society.
Hello and welcome to Stand Up Historian. This is a special edition of Stand Up Historian. As I mentioned in the previous podcast, I've been researching and working on documents regarding occults, especially in Third Reich, and then moving towards the current time, to the present times, and see the connection between the occultism in the Third Reich and occultism in our times. During the research, so many times the name Maria Orsic came up. So I decided to create a short podcast, introduce Maria Orsic to you and her very curious case, which I have discussed it here. I have to apologize to you all because for the most part I botched the German names, and I hope you forgive me. My German is very rusty. I hope you enjoyed this, and please, when you can, visit my website and submit your questions, your comments, and let me know what you think of any of the podcasts in the past or this one specifically. And as always, thank you for listening. Maria Orsic, also known as Maria Orsic, was a famous medium who later became the leader of the Virial Society, or Virial Gesellschaft. She was born in Vienna, Austria. Her father was a Croatian from Zagreb. Her mother was from Vienna. Maria soon followed the German national movement, which was popular at this time. The main goal of the movement was to annex Austria with the German Reich. In 1917, the occultist called Haushofer, Baron Rudolf von Sebaltendorf, the World War I ace pilot Luther Weiss, prelate Gernot of the secret Societal Templi Marcioni, the inheritors of the Knight Templar, and Maria Orsic, a transcendental medium from Zagreb, met in Schopenhauer Cafe in Vienna. They all had extensively studied the Golden Dawn, its teachings, rituals, and especially its knowledge about Asian secret lodges. Sebaltendorf and Haushofer were experienced travelers of India and Tibet, and much influenced by the teachings and myths of those places. During the First World War, Karl Haushofer had made contacts with one of the most influential secret societies of Asia, the Tibetan Yellow Hats. The contacts between Haushofer and the Yellow Hats led in the 20s to be the formation of Tibetan colonies in Germany. The four young people hoped that during these meetings in Vienna, they would learn something about the secret revelatory texts of the Knights Templar and also about the secret fraternity Die Herren von Schwarzenstein, the Lords of the Black Stone. Prelate Gernot was one of the inheritors of the Knights Templar, which are the only true Templar society. They are the descendants of the Templars of 1307 who passed in their secrets from father to son until today. Prelate Gernot apparently told them about the advent of a new age, the change over from the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius. In December 1919, a member of Thule, Virial, and DHVSS rented a small hunting lodge near Berchtesgaden, Germany, where they met, accompanied by Maria Orsic and another medium who's only known as Sigrun. Maria claimed to have received mediumistically transmissions in a secret German Templar script, a language unknown to her, containing technical data for the construction of a flying machine. Viril documents mention these telepathic messages had their origin in Aldebaran. I talk about Aldebaran in our previous podcast. You can listen to that and you can find out more about Aldebaran. A solar system basically 68 years away in the constellation Taurus. She had two piles of papers, one with the Templar script, the other with the legible writing. Maria suspected the second pile would be written in an ancient Eastern language, and therefore she could be aided by the Pan-Babylonists, a circle close to the Thule Society, which was integrated by Hugo Winkler, Peter Jensen, Frederick Dilschick, and others. It turned out that the apparently mysterious language was actually ancient Sumerian, and therefore the language of the ancient Babylonian culture founders. Sigrun, from the Viril Gesellschaft, helped translate the language and decipher the strange mental images of circular flight machines. The concept of other science, or alternative science, or secret science, matured in this time and the following years. Because of the financing difficulties, it took 3 years until the flying machine project started taking shape. By 1922, parts of the machine began arriving independently from various industrial sources paid in full by Thule and Viril. In Munich, Maria was in contact with the Thule Society, and soon she created her own circle together with Tarjut A. from Munich and several other friends. She called it All German Society of Metaphysics, official name of the Viril Society. All of them were young ladies, which among other things were against the rising fashion of short hair styles for women. Both Maria and Tarjut were beautiful ladies with very long hair. Maria was blonde and Tarjut was brown hair. They had long horse tails, a very uncommon hairstyle at the time. This became a distinctive characteristic in all the women who integrated Viril, which was maintained until May 1945 and end of Nazi control of Germany. They believed that their long hair acted as cosmic antenna to receive alien communication from beyond. In public, however, they hardly ever exhibited the hair in horsetail style. For identification, Viril members, also called Virilians, wore a disc which represented the two mediums, Maria Orsic and Sigrun. In late November 1924, she visited Rudolf Hess in his apartment in Munich, together with Rudolf von Sebastendorf, the founder of the Thule Society. Sebastendorf wanted to contact Dietrich Eckart, who had deceased 1 year prior. Eckart had translated Ibsen's plays into German and had published the magazine Auf Gott Deutsch. He had also been a member of the Thule Society. To establish contact with Eckart, Sebastendorf and others, among them Ernest Schultz Strautes, join hands around a black draped table. You could call it in a seance. Hess was irritated to watch Maria Orsic's eyeballs rolling back and showing only whites, and to see her slumping backward in her chair, mouth agape. However, Subotendorf smiled in satisfaction as the voice of Eckhart started coming out of the medium. Eckhart announced that he was obliged to let someone else's voice come through with an important message. A weird voice then identified itself as the Sumi, dwellers of a distant world, which orbits the star Aldebaran in the constellation you call Taurus or Bull. Hess and Schultz blinked at each other in surprise. According to the voice, Sumi were an humanoid race who had briefly colonized Earth 500 million years ago. The ruins of ancient Larsa, Shuropak, and Nippur in Iraq had been built by them. We see Shuropak in the legend of, in the Epic of Gilgamesh. Those of them who survived the great flood of Utnapishtim, the deluge of Noah's Ark, had become the ancestors of the Aryan race. Subotendorf remained skeptical and asked for proof. While Maria was still in a trance, she scribbled several lines of queer-looking marks. Those marks turn out to be ancient Sumerian characters, the language of the founders of the oldest Babylonian culture. In December 1943, Maria attended, together with Sigrun, a meeting held by Viril at the seaside resort of Kolberg. The main purpose of the meeting was to deal with the Aldebaran project. The Viril mediums had received precise information regarding the habitable planets around the sun, Aldebaran, and they were willing to plan a trip there. The project was discussed again the 22nd of January 1944 in a meeting between Hitler, Himmler, Dr. Schumann, scientist and professor in Technical University of Munich, and Kunkel of the Viril Society. It was decided that a Viril 7 Jagger would be sent through a dimension channel independent of the speed of light to Aldebaran. According to N. Rothofer, a first test flight in the dimension channel took place in late 1944. Maria Orsic disappeared in 1945. The 11th of March 1945, an internal document of the Viril Society was sent to all its members, a letter written by Maria Orsic. The letter ends, "Nobody is staying here." This was the last announcement from Viril. It is speculated they departed to Aldebaran. Immediately after Orsic's disappearance, it was rumored that an American expedition to Antarctica was launched. It was widely known that Americans sought Nazi technology after the defeat of the Germans. Although the Antarctica expedition, known as Operation High Jump, proclaimed their objective was to study Antarctica, many believed that Admiral Richard Byrd's true objective was to flush out Germans in Antarctica and capture alien UFO technology. The expedition began in 1945 and ended abruptly in March 1947. 2 months later, the world received the first reports of a modern-day UFO, the 1947 Kenneth Arnold sighting in Washington State, maybe 20 minutes from the place that I'm recording this podcast for you.